So I was just speaking about the intelligence structures in the country, how they've been hollowed out. And that's why our book of the week is so, so timeous and important. To the Wolves, How Traitor Cops Crafted South Africa's Underworld, by investigative journalist Karen Dolly, published through Daily Maverick's book publishing imprint, Maverick 451. And if you really want to understand the intelligence structures in South Africa, how it has been captured and decimated, why intelligence structures within the police were so slow to pick up on the events of the last few days, this is an absolute must read to give you that historical context and the background as well. Karen Dolly has traced the rot from cops to the underworld to politicians back again, exposing the duplicitous networks that have for decades ensnared the country in this expanding cycle of organized crime and cop claim crossfire. And at the center of this all is the mounting collateral. It's the victims of Cape Town's manufactured killing fields, as she so eloquently puts it. So Karen Dolly, good afternoon to you. Thank you very much for your time today, and congratulations on this book. It's an important contribution to understanding how police intelligence networks work.
Oh, thank you so much, Mandy, and thank you for having me.
So I have to start by asking you about the last few days and why the cops were so slow to pick up on what was happening. What happened to intelligence structures? If you can maybe just give us some context and understand it. People really need to read the book, but just in summary form, what do you think happened here?
Well, Mandy, as we know, for example, crime intelligence has been pummeled over a decade. It started with Dutchman Bluley, who is now convicted. And then there were several acting heads appointed to head it, and that did not go well. And, I mean, most recently in March, we had Peter Jacobs, who was heading crime intelligence, transferred from the unit, and he'd claimed that there was proof or evidence suggesting that crime intelligence officers were involved in looting the secret account. So that's where crime intelligence is. And then when it comes to the policing side of things, we've seen, I mean, a dizzying amount of claims and counterclaims between police officers, and a sort of spat between the National Commissioner and other officers within the service.
And as your book tracks, and it's something that you and I have both reported on for years now, about how the National Police Commissioners have never served a full time. They've always been embroiled in corruption. The heads of crime intelligence have also been like this rotating washing machine. And at the moment, crime intelligence still headed by a police officer in an acting capacity. So it really has been ravaged over the past decade or two.
Absolutely, it's really worrying, especially now with what we're seeing playing out on the streets. And I was mentioning this yesterday, but if we've got police officers who don't trust each other and claims of rogue intelligence operatives now stoking this violence, where does that actually and truly leave us? Who can we place our trust in? And I think we're seeing people helping in cleanup operations, etc. It seems to have come to a point where people are realizing that we need to trust ourselves and we need to put ourselves first, because certain politicians and certain cops are not going to do that for us.
So there is a focus in your book on the Western Cape in particular, because the Western Cape as a background and a backdrop to all of this has been a key battlefield. So you've got the relationship between gangsters and top cops, this blurring of lines from the 1990s already, where cops worked for gangsters and gangsters worked for cops. How did all of that play out over the years?
I mean, we've seen it from pre-democracy up until recently, the very same claims and almost similar figures involved in it. So, for example, around 1997, Major General Andre Lincoln headed up a presidential investigative unit, and then it was claimed that he was actually not doing his job. Basically, some police officers on the periphery claimed he was working with and not against a pivotal suspect. And now, if we look at what's happening or what's happened recently, claims have emerged in court that Major General Lincoln, who heads up the anti-gang unit in the Western Cape, is involved in crimes, basically colluding against the suspect. So it's almost like we've come full circle, and I use that as one example. There's several others, but it's the same claims against police officers and the same claims that suspects are colluding with police officers and vice versa that are sort of dragging behind us. We can't seem to sort of cut through it And I'm not sure the reasoning for that, but perhaps there is merit to some of these claims.
And Karen, factionalism is behind a lot of it, in the Western Cape in particular, where you see characters like Jeremy Veery or Peter Jacobs, who was the head of crime intelligence, being viewed with suspicion. And then you have Colonel Kinnear being gunned down as well. And there's a sense that one cluster of police officers is working with one group from the underworld, another cluster of police officers is working with a different group from the underworld. And all of that really just serves to undermine the ability of the police to do their work.
So that is correct. There is a sense, but where that stems from is allegations and claims made by suspects and police officers who have been pointed to by other police officers as colluding with suspects. So that is the, I don't want to say mastery to condone it or give it credit, but that is the, I mean, intention of a smear campaign, that we're looking at this as factionalism, when in fact it could actually be a group of police officers investigating another group of police officers who are indeed working with criminal suspects. But like I've said, that, I mean, it's so difficult to pinpoint what is smear, what is fact, and what is fiction. And that is the core of this problem, is that we are stuck in between that.
Sure. And Karen, where does this leave us all as we deal with the crisis in the country at the moment?
What I argue is that we need to demand better, and we need to see through smear campaigns, etc., and get to the core of them. And that's what I'm trying to do as a journalist, is trying to expose what the actual truth is. It's exceptionally difficult, and I can't for a fact stand here and say this is the case, but I'll go back to it. It's up to us to demand better. So what we're seeing on the streets at the moment with people cleaning up, people preventing looters in legal ways, I think that is brilliant. And we perhaps need to see more of that, but not necessarily in the way it's manifesting physically.
Right. Well, Karen, thank you. Thank you for this contribution. Thank you also for the digging that you're doing to try and get to the truth. This really is an important book if you want to understand the intelligence and the police structures in South Africa.